Related restrictions may apply.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13, the laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there. I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
Dozens more people are getting sick from eating salmonella-tainted beef. The CDC reporting 63 more people have gotten ill from eating the contaminated ground beef that's been recalled. It brings the total so far to at least 120 people in more than two dozen states who've been impacted. The beef distributed by an Arizona company was sold by a number of national chains from Walmart to Sprouts and Fry's. The first female Supreme Court Justice, Sandra Day O'Connor, has announced that she's in the early stages of dementia and will be withdrawing from public life. Her son, Jay O'Connor, says his mother has a message for America.
By better appreciating and understanding our common heritage and the values that are most important, we can re-energize Americans to realize that we're all on the same team and we can all achieve things, better things working together.
He spoke on Fox News. Sandra Day O'Connor is 88. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
The California Catholic Conference now being sued on claims it deliberately hid credible sex abuse accusations against over 200 priests in that state. A lawyer and former priest saying yesterday the cases all involve priests in the Archdiocese of San Francisco and the Diocese of Oakland and San Jose. Wireless phone company T-Mobile says it will donate $10,000 to hurricane relief for every home run hit in the World Series. It's the part of the company's Home Runs for Hurricane Recovery initiative. Boston's Eduardo Nunez hit a three-run homer last night in the Red Sox 8-4 win over the Dodgers, the Sox getting off to a one-game-to-none lead in the Fall Classic. Diddy, former rapper turned entrepreneur, is helping kids in New York City get a better quality education now. He announced on Instagram yesterday he's pledging $1 million to build a charter school in the Bronx. The school for 6th and 7th graders is scheduled to open next September. And the world's oldest intact shipwreck is said to be lying at the bottom of the Black Sea, according to researchers from the Black Sea Maritime Archaeology Project, who say they discovered the ancient Greek trading vessel near Bulgaria after 3 years of surveying over 700 miles. They say oxygen-free conditions underwater preserved the ship. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. We're going to do a quick review of the weather. Mostly sunny today, high of 55, low of 35 tonight, and mostly clear. Sunny tomorrow again, 52 was the high, been back down to a low of 34 Thursday night. Friday, highs in the low 50s again and partly sunny. And then looks like Friday night, the rain starts coming in. Saturday, heavy rain and 49. rain again Saturday night and maybe on into Sunday. So enjoy these next few days before the rain hits.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, and it's a show about volunteers, donations, foundations, people working with organizations that help others in our local community, in our global community, around the world, and individuals. And we'd like to highlight people doing good work all over the Hunterdon County area, the tri-state area, and the world. We have today with us, if you want to watch on Facebook Live, it's at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help, and you can see us, and you can see our guest today is Kevin Garrison, who is with the founder of Blessing Bag Brigade. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
It's so great to have you here. You can give us a background of how you got started with this. I think it's only a couple years old, correct?
Yes. Started 2016.
All right. Well, give us the background of you and how this came to be and what Blessing Bag Brigade is all about.
Okay. So I work in New York City. I work in Penn Station, New York. And, I see the homeless on a daily basis and was, always wished there was something I could do for them. And, obviously I'm not wealthy, so I can't buy everyone a home or take everyone off the street. So, what could I do? Was scrolling through Facebook one day and found a picture of a blessing bag. And one of my friends had posted it and said, wow, wouldn't this be a great idea? And I was like, heck yeah, that would be a great idea. So I do a Christmas project usually for the past few years and threw it out on Facebook to my friends and said, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put these blessing bags together. I'm going to have these items in there, which are socks, water, three snacks, toothbrush, toothpaste, soap, shampoo, lotion. And if you guys can send me some of the stuff, I'm going to walk around New York and hand these out. And my apartment started filling up with stuff. I was like, holy moly, this is crazy. So within a couple of days, I started handing stuff out. I handed out over 200 bags in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And it was just great to see. One of my favorite stories is this project has taught me so much. It's taught me how to not be so judgmental to people because I think that's our first thing is kind of judge people. Yeah. I think it just comes naturally to us. And one time I was handing out these bags and these three people were laying on the ground and I handed them the bag and the guy was like, wait, don't go. And I was like, I don't have any more. He's like, no, I just wanted to get up and shake your hand.
Aww.
And that just put me at such a humble place and I just couldn't, I was just taken aback. Here I am. I think he wants more and more and he just wanted to say thank you.
Aww.
So it's stories like that that keep me going and keep me doing this. One time I got done handing out my bags, and there's this one restroom inside Penn Station that normally we don't go in there. It's usually filled with the homeless, and it's unusable. So I happened to go in there, and there were four guys at the sink using my blessing bags, shaving,
oh my gosh,
brushing their teeth,
wow,
and washing their face.
Wow.
And at that point, I thought, man, maybe I have something here. Maybe people want this. So the project kept continuing, and I kept handing out bags. Things kept showing up. I'd come home from work. I work at night from 11 to 7. I would show up at home, and there would be stuff at my doorstep.
Aww.
And one of my friends had asked me, how long are you going to keep doing this? And I said, well, as long as you guys keep giving, I'll keep giving. Here we are almost 2 years later, and I'm still walking the streets of New York. But, we've expanded, and now we go elsewhere. We go to Newark, New Jersey. We go along the Jersey Shore, everywhere from about Union Beach, Keyport, down to Asbury Park, Ocean Grove.
You've started a movement.
It's crazy.
I know.
Crazy. It is. It's amazing that, for me, it started out just being a bunch of stuff in a bag to give to people to maybe give them hope or make them happy or keep them clean or give them dignity, whatever it was. But, it's really turned into something that is way bigger than me, way bigger than this bag. We've touched children. I go to speak at schools. I speak at community events. One of our greatest projects was I got asked by Madison Square Garden to help out with their Feeding of the Homeless So at the Hammerstein Ballroom, where they feed over 2,000 people, we were asked to bring some blessing bags over there. Mm-hmm. So on Christmas Day of last year, we brought over 800 blessing bags over there and handed them out. And that was through the thanks of St. Benedict's in Holmdel. What happened was Madison Square Garden called me. Up until that point, we've been handing out about 400 bags a month. And Madison Square Garden called and they said, hey, we'd like you to bring in 800 blessing bags on Christmas Day to the Hammerstein Ballroom. You know, can you do that? So I was like, sure, I could do that. And I hung up the phone and I was like, how the heck am I going to do this? And 2 days later, I got a call from St. Benedict's in Holmdel. And they were like, hey, we want you to do a school-wide project for us. We can make you over 600 blessing bags.
Yep, there you go.
There it is. So, you know, so this, like I said, the project is way bigger than me and things just start happening. And it's been awesome.
Yeah,
it's been a great journey.
Snowballs, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could sit here and tell you, stories upon stories and you know, we've gone into now what we do is we have kids with special needs help us out.
Okay.
So what we do is we're in just about 7 different schools and growing, seems by the month.
Amazing.
And we're in Monmouth, Middlesex, and Ocean County, where we bring these supplies to the schools with kids with special needs. They pack the blessing bags for us and give them back to us so we can hand them out.
Aww.
And two of the schools, actually, we hooked up one school, Academy Learning Center, with Elijah's Promise in New Brunswick. They're going to be handing out their own bags.
Oh, nice.
So they'll take our product and bring it there and hand it out to the homeless and needy over there. We also have one Freehold Township High School, which makes the blessing bags and brings it over to St. Peter's in Freehold.
Oh, nice.
So they get to experience that as well. So I love that the start to finish, they get to be involved in that. And like I said, this is touching so many lives. It's just unbelievable to me.
Yeah. So. Well, that's why I always tell people, yes, you're helping someone, but I always say I'm purely selfish in my giving and my doing because it makes me feel so good. And I love everything I get to do. So you're bringing, you know, happiness on both sides from the giver and the recipient.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. And it doesn't take much. And I love that the blessing bag, it's especially with something small but meaningful and tangible, because people love, you know, they don't know if they want to just give money to have it go into the void. They don't know where it's going. But if they can give little items, toothbrushes and soap and something simple, then they, especially with kids and scout groups and things like that, it's such an easy way to just help out.
It is. And, you know, we hold community events where we invite the community to come in. We call them supply gathering and packing events.
Perfect.
And we hold these at Middletown Sports Complex in Middletown, New Jersey, generally. We have a minor league hockey team there, the New Jersey Titans. So they've jumped on board almost since the beginning. And they help us out with these events. We hold these events where we invite the community to come in. They bring all their supplies with them. And then, you know, I give them a little background of what's going on, where these bags can potentially go. And then we pack bags together as a community. And it was really nice. The last event we had close to 100 people there and mostly adults, which I really love because, you know, as parents, we like to bring our kids to these events so they can do it, right? But when we actually get out of our comfort zone and we go there and actually experience and get involved in things, you know, then it's for us, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that... you know, this has been life-changing, not only for me, obviously, but I think for many of the people who get involved with the group. When you walk into a soup kitchen, especially if you've never been there before, and you see the need of the folks and what the blessing bag does. Sorry, I get choked up.
No, I know. I hear you. I love it.
It's so powerful, you know, and for you to be there and give a smile to someone and have a conversation and actually be part of their lives and let them into your life for a minute. You know, that's an engagement that you probably will never get to have unless you throw yourself out there into a situation that you probably wouldn't normally be in.
Right. And the one thing we all have in common is our humanity, right?
Yes.
Back to basics.
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, I'm so excited to learn more. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back.
Awesome.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back with Kevin Garrison, who is the founder of Blessing Bag Brigade, which is who shows humanitarianism towards the homeless, and they do so many things. So the one question I had for Kevin was, you started giving bags, and it ballooned, and it was amazing. So what made you decide to make it into a formal 501c3?
Well, I was very hesitant to do that. Being a 501c3, to me, comes with a lot of paperwork, and I've seen, we've seen many stories where monies don't go to the right place, and I didn't want to be confused with those kind of charities. Like, I just wanted to do good, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to do these things. However, I had some people on my team that were like, we really need to do this, and I didn't think this was going to last, quite honestly. I figured my birthday is mid-January. I figured people would get sick of it by then, and we'd be done. But it continued, people just kept giving. Then we had Our Limousine was one of our first sponsors.
Oh.
And that was kind of our catalyst. They said they were going to donate money. And, at that point, not being a 501c3, I really couldn't accept it. Mm-hmm. And, legally.
Right.
And they needed the write-off. Let's face it.
It's a win-win.
Give, right? So I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no money to do this because, I work for Amtrak. I have a nice job, but, I'm not getting rich.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have money. So I actually did a GoFundMe page,
nice.
Asked people if they would like to help me become a 501c3. And we figured out that it would cost us about $500 if we did it ourselves. And I had a friend of mine, Shannon Black, who jumped on board and researched it and watched videos, and she was able to do it herself, which I think was incredible. And that's how we did it. We just became a 501c3, like almost quickly, because when you do it yourself, it just goes through faster. And we were able to receive money. They gave us $1,000. And
nice.
At that point, it was like $1 million to me because I'd been begging for supplies. I just beg, for your little shampoos and your little soaps and anything travel size, because everything we give out is travel size.
Right.
So from that point on, it just, I guess kind of legitimized us, and I turned it into a Facebook page right before that, and I was telling my stories on there and showing video of me walking in the streets of New York and, about the characters I met, which, I think we lose that part of the human touch at that point.
Yeah.
Because, of any of us that go to New York City on a regular basis or even not on a regular basis, you walk right by the people you see laying on the street. You almost pay them no mind.
Right.
And to stop and have some sort of an interaction with them, again, it's life-changing and it makes you view the world a little differently. So.
Yeah. Are there any, have you done any research on homelessness, or can you tell people so they aren't so judgmental about maybe the different different happenings or reasons that people might become homeless, if you're okay sharing with some of that.
Yeah. So one statistic, like I always like to say, is on any given night in the United States, over 650,000 people are homeless.
Wow.
And that's staggering to me. About 33% of the homeless have mental illness. And I think we are definitely not doing enough to help those people. You know, we used to have a lot of agencies that were able to help them, homes, which have closed down since the 80s. Mm-hmm. And but one of the biggest causes is poverty and lack of affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where I live in the on the shore area, I don't remember last time they built a house for under $400,000 or $500,000.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really isn't. You know, where can we say build a house for $200,000? You know, mm-hmm. I don't really have the answers to that yet, but I'm still young at this, so we'll come up with some answers. But that's, you know, that's, they're the major factors. And domestic violence, you know, domestic mm-hmm. violence is a big part of women becoming homeless with children.
Right.
And, you know, in some places we don't even have enough resources to help those folks. You know, mm-hmm. we have 180 Turnaround in Monmouth County. I'm not sure how far they go, but that's an organization that strictly helps women of domestic violence. And it's just some great organizations out there. A lot of churches get involved in that stuff. You know, our name is Blessing Bag Brigade, but we're not affiliated with any church. That's what makes it so wonderful, is mm-hmm. because people are accepting us anywhere. You know, I deal with Jewish community, Catholic community, Christian, you know, Indian, doesn't matter.
Yep.
Like we are all inclusive, you know, so it's been pretty awesome like that.
Yeah. Any and all help welcome, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So can you talk a little bit about where you get your volunteers and how you rally volunteers for either working the different shows you have or events you have, or just getting donations, like you said, showing up on your doorstep?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a big presence on Facebook. I am a Facebook poster to no end. You know, we are on Twitter, we are on Instagram, we have a website, and we'll give that stuff out later, and we'll be able to find it on our social media.
What's your Facebook for?
My Facebook is, you would type into the subject bar, Blessing Bag Brigade NJ, and that's because we use NJ because we're going to go bigger soon, I'm sure.
Nice.
So, you know, that's our goals. So what we do is, we do a collection. I actually, you know, just like a homeless person would, I beg for collections from the 1st to the 10th of the month. And the reason we do that is because we don't want to overwhelm everyone all month long with asking. Because,
right.
you know, being a charity is what it is. We have to ask for donations. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only way we can survive. And we have to give the results of those donations. So that's what I try to do for the rest of the about 20 days. So during those 10 days, we also tell you where we're going to be for the rest of the month. We go to soup kitchens and food pantries around the Jersey Shore. We go to, we drop off in Newark in a homeless shelter. We go to New York City on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. We set up on 34th Street and 8th Avenue, right on the street with two other charities.
Wow.
Yeah, we feed the homeless there, we clothe the homeless, and we give them blessing bags. And we serve anywhere from 100 to 200 people there on a Wednesday night. It's that is an incredible event. So anyway, you can find out where we're going to be and what we're going to do on our website. We have a sign-up genius, so people can come there and sign up, see where we're going to be. We've also took over a soup kitchen in Long Branch, New Jersey, so that's been exciting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we started, we did a takeover in June, and we've been going strong there, and we asked people to sponsor a dinner. We try to get, we do get state food, we do get government food, but that doesn't help out with paper products. It doesn't help out with good food, like like salads and other
healthy
nutritional
food.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, healthier choices. So we ask people to supplement those. So we ask, you know, for a $75 donation, that's your dinner for the night. You can either be involved or not be involved, but it will help us continue to do what we do. So there's always, we always have opportunities. We have opportunities for community service, for maybe your church or whatever you need community service for, where you could hold your own supply and gathering event through your family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make up your own bags mm-hmm. and deliver them to us, or deliver them to your own soup kitchen. You know, this is an idea that I found so you can find it too. You know, it's not, this is not about me and Blessing Bag Brigade NJ. It's about showing you where and how you can help others who are less fortunate than us. And it's such an easy thing that you don't need me to do it, and I will guide you along the way, and you can do it all yourself.
I know. Well, that, yeah, it's like a kit, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you need donations just for all the gas for getting around. Sounds like you're everywhere.
It is. It is. Like I said before, following this, I'll be up in Fairfield getting supplies from a school that collected for us. Then later on this afternoon, I will be at the United Methodist Church in Asbury Park. And then I'll be at the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission.
Wow.
Then I think I might try to have dinner, and then I'm going to shoot to New York City to not only do the event, but then go back to work at 11 o'clock.
Oh, wait, tonight's Wednesday, so it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday?
It's every Wednesday. Oh. We generally go either every other Wednesday, okay, but the group is there every Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness.
So we try to get there two or three times a month.
Nice. Wow, so Amtrak doesn't, you can't like go on Amtrak all these places probably, right?
No,
like,
no, it doesn't help out with that.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. So yeah, so there's a zillion ways you can volunteer. And what about groups? Do you have Girl Scout or Boy Scout troops wanting to help and things like that?
So we have, we get involved with Scout groups, we get involved with teams, any sports teams, you know, National Honor Societies. What we do is we would go there, explain what we do, kind of give them a background. We have videos to show. You can find us on YouTube. We have a couple of videos on YouTube. Oh. And what we do is, you know, we encourage them to gather these supplies, which, you know, when you get a business card of ours, they're on the back of our business card. They're on our website, obviously. And, you know, I talk to the kids about community service, about helping others, about, you know, awareness, being aware of your town and your places. Where you're at.
Awareness is key. Get off your phone, people.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and in saying that, you know, I've become aware. You know, a story I have for you is one of the teachers in one of these schools that I dealt with, you know, knows I'm decent in construction and work like that. So one of the families in her school had a broken heating pipe, and she asked if I could go over and fix it. So I said, oh, I'll give it a shot. But by the time I got there, homeowners came over and fixed it. So she said, well, can you go over and check out? They have a broken window in the home. So I said, okay, let me see what I can do. So I was met by the man of the house who was 16 years old.
Wow.
And he showed me around the house. And it was such a sad situation there. You know, the first thing people think to do when they hear someone is poor is give them food. Now, from experience, you can get food anywhere. Like, there are soup kitchens, food pantries.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah,
what they can't get is money to pay their bills, money to fix a broken window, money to fix their toilet that might not be working, pay their water bill, pay their heating bill. I mean, sometimes the government helps with heating, but there are many ways that we can help, you know, and you don't have to give the money to do it. You can go pay for it directly, you know. So what happened was I went to see this house, and not only was one window broken in their house, but every window in their home was broken on the upstairs. Oh. It was freezing in the home.
I was going to say, the heating pipe's not going to fix it. You've got the broken windows.
So it was a great-grandmother living with five great-grandchildren, and one of the great-grandchildren just had a baby.
Oh.
So there was an infant in the house. This is a Christmas time. Last year, it was like 0 degrees. So I wasn't sure what I was going to do. So I told a social worker, you know, give me overnight to think about it. I called her the next day and I said, why don't you see if she will let me take some of the stuff out of the house? Like, all the food needed to be removed. I mean, it was like semi of a hoarding situation.
I was gonna say,
through no fault of theirs, you know? It's like when your kid has their room starts getting dirty. They leave one shirt on the floor, and all of a sudden it's a pile of clothes, and you can't get to their bed. And that's the same thing that happens. You know, people get used to living a certain way, and they don't know how to get out of it.
Yep.
You know, they're just overwhelmed, so they just continue to live because at least they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
We wound up, she said yes. And I started removing all the food in the home. And I figured maybe we'd paint it. There was holes everywhere. We patched some holes and maybe fix a window or two. But there was just so many broken windows. So and broken furniture. Like, every piece of furniture was broken.
Wow.
So I talked to the social worker again. I said, ask this woman if she minds if I take all the furniture out and I'll put new stuff in there. You know, used stuff, but new to them.
Oh, wow.
And for some reason, she said yes. So
why not, right?
Yeah. So I got my friends together. We started taking all the stuff out of the house. The kids got their clothes that they wanted. We threw everything out. So, in short, we wound up renovating their whole house.
Oh, my gosh.
We gave them 11 windows, 5 doors, wall-to-wall carpeting, some wood floors. Halfway through the project, I tore their kitchen out.
And we gave them their goodness.
We fixed pipes. We fixed electricity. We painted. We put all new window treatments on their windows.
Oh, my gosh.
And we gave them a new home, basically.
Yeah, sounds like
a fresh start. And that was all because I was on social media every morning. I'd come home from work. I would go on social media and say, hey, I'm at this house. Can someone please come help me? And so for 11 days, we kept them in a hotel, and we renovated their house.
Oh, my word.
And it was like an extreme home makeover thing. We brought the family home. We toured the house. And it was just an incredible thing. And, and like, I look back now, and I don't even know how I did it. You know, no budget. We had no money. We just looked for donations. And Woodhaven Lumber donated a bunch of stuff. They were instrumental in getting that done. And, yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
So how are they doing now? Have you checked back?
They're doing great. Oh. I do check back with them. The kids are doing great. Their house is kept clean.
Good.
You know, they're respecting it now because they know how to. They know where to start, and they know what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's so wonderful to see. I still see them, you know. They're like family. I don't see them enough, quite honestly.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard. But, yeah, they're doing great.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. I love that story. Yeah, you literally had your own version of Extreme Home Makeover.
Yeah, and everything was on social media. There's videos on there. And
videos are powerful.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I would go out and beg. You know, that's how you do it, you know. And how about appeal? I would appeal to people instead of beg.
So it all works. Whatever works. Whatever works. Take care of it.
Yeah.
So tell us about the name Blessing Bag Brigade. So the Blessing Bag was already kind of like a thing, like a generic thing,
so
right?
So it was a thing out there floating around, and people called these things that they gave out blessing bags. And there's so many different versions. This was the version that I came up with, or me and my group came up with.
Okay.
So blessing bag is what it is. The brigade is because I was in the United States Army.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. So I served in the Iraq War. I served during Desert Shield, Desert Storm the first time. So, you know, the core of who I am comes from being in the military and not giving up and caring for others. You know, when I was part of the military, they called me Captain Morale because I would, while we were overseas, you know, there were so many guys who were missing their families. You know, I didn't have anyone. I was 18 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I just was worried about me, really, at that point. And so I took on my friends as you know, projects to keep motivated because, you know, out there, you know, we're in the middle of the desert. It got to where, you know, you didn't know what was coming next. It was a foreign land, you know, just like a typical war story.
Can't imagine.
You know, people were down, you know, they're missing their families.
Yeah.
And so I uplifted them. And so that's why the brigade is such a strong, the blessing bag being soft and comforting, the brigade being strong and forceful. So
I love it.
And I thought that, you know, with this community that we've brought together with over 3,400 Facebook people, you know, we are a brigade, you know, we're a small army, you know, helping others. And like I said, the NJ is for New Jersey because this is where I started it.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can expand to other places. And yeah, so quickly how I was in New York and being in New York and I see it every day, I didn't know how homelessness really affected New Jersey because I was never exposed to soup kitchens. I was never really exposed to any kind of thing like that or food pantries. But in my journey, I figured I have to help out at home. There's got to be something here that I can be useful for. So when I started visiting soup kitchens around our area, particularly in Keensburg, Asbury, I realized, like, wow, man, this is everywhere. You know, it's not just in New York. It's not just where we see it. It's where we don't see it.
Yep.
And sometimes that's the hardest part is because those are the people that are hardest to reach. You know, some people are stacked up in a house, two or three families. Some people are two or three generations because they just can't make enough to get out and do it themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so those people are actually homeless. You know, they don't have their own home.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think of it like that. We think, oh, there's a roof over their head, right? What the heck? Yeah. And, you know, another thing I learned is just because they have a roof over their head doesn't mean they have the things to put in that home or the ability to keep up with that home. Yeah. You know, my mom was a great woman and she struggled for many years after her divorce, you know, just trying to keep the house together. And she didn't have enough to fix the bathroom or fix different parts of the house. You know, we had 100-year-old house about and, you know, lath walls and, you know, plaster. Those things are hard to fix if you don't have the money. They're very expensive. So, you know, it took her many, many years to be able to do that. And some people don't have that opportunity and get that chance.
Yeah, well, it's a very I've mentioned this before. When I married my husband, we were urban dwellers. But then when we got our own house, I didn't realize my bonus package of the marriage was that he could do the yard and he could fix plumbing and drywall and everything. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's such a – because even if you have to hire someone, you don't know if you're getting ripped off. You don't know if it's getting done right. And so, I mean, it's a huge portion of house maintenance and home maintenance, but it's expensive.
Right. And a lot of times I think we don't think about that, you know, especially going into it new. You know, you're like, ooh, look at me. I have a house. Holy moly, the toilet just broke. How do we fix that?
Totally.
You know? Well, so that's what happens. That's why a lot of these people come into soup kitchens and food pantries, because maybe their toilet doesn't work in their house.
Right.
Or they're electric.
Right.
Or they're,
and
it doesn't have to be that their electric's off. It could be they don't have lamps. They don't have overhead light. A ton of reasons.
Yeah, and then just the little things. So we were in a parking lot, and I was with my kids, and that we walked by a van that had, you know, like a crunch on the side, and a, you know, had been in some kind of minor accident, and he was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they didn't get that fixed. I'm like, hey, that's probably like $800 right there to fix that. It's like, not everybody, you know, people barely have enough money for gas, much less if you get in an accident, you know, you're just like duct tape and here you go.
It's so true.
Life is expensive.
It is.
Yeah.
And sometimes I look around, and like I said, I'm blessed with a great job. But, you know, I have two teenage kids that I've been raising since they were 4 and 5, and it's a struggle, you know. Yeah. I haven't always been so fortunate myself, you know. I've had to live with my mom for a period of time with my kids. Mm. So I get that struggle, you know. I get that wanting for your own stuff and your own things. And sometimes, you know, we get into these situations where we can't get out, you know, where depression is a real thing and mental illness is a real thing. And you know, sometimes people are like, oh, why don't they just go out and get a job? Man, if they could do that, they would. Trust me. I speak to these people on a daily basis. And sometimes people think they deserve to be out there for the bad things they've done. Sometimes they think they deserve to be out there because they did something wrong in their life or they're out of prison. Yeah. And that's the best they can get, you know. And, you know, I think we all deserve a second chance, you know, if afforded that opportunity.
Everyone needs a morale coach like you.
Yeah.
I try. Yeah. So 18, obviously you said when you went into the army, you were helping morale in Iraq, right? And so did this just switch turn on when you were in the army, or have you always been kind of a morale building positive kind of guy growing up?
I think more of it came out when I was in the military.
Really?
I think, yeah. Like I've always been involved. I shouldn't say always, but when I was younger, I went to Catholic school. I was really involved in church. I always had a belief system, you know. Always believed in a higher power, you know. And for anyone out there, it could be whatever you want it to be, you know. It could be whatever's bigger than you, because you're not. If we're the end all, then we're in trouble. You know what I mean? There's got to be something bigger than us. And you know, and I went through some dark years myself. You know, I went through a horrible divorce. You know, I had my own struggles in life. And yet when I came out of that finally years later, you know, because sometimes it's not right away, you know, now I can pick myself up after a day or two, you know. Back then I couldn't. I was months, you know, with struggling with depression and different things. And, you know, once you get out and see the light and see how beautiful life can be, you know, you just want to do something to help someone else. You know, if I could change somebody's life for a minute, I'm all in.
Well, that's amazing. That's what I always say. I say, if you want to be happy, help someone else. It's just as simple as that.
It is.
I mean, that's
like
how
that.
That's the true key to happiness. It's not money. It's not fame. It's not fortune. And health is wealth. I do say that.
Yes,
health is
yes.
wealth and safety and all that good stuff. But helping someone else, that's the true key to fulfillment and happiness. That's my take on it anyway.
So. No, I agree 100%. And you know, one thing, a friend of mine's mom, she came to help out one time, and she couldn't believe everything that we did and the packing and all the people that showed up to do it. And she caught me another time. She said, Kevin, you know, I never thought about a homeless. She's in her 60s, maybe close to 70s. And she said, you know, Kevin, I've never thought about the homeless in my whole life. Now I think about them every day.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, how awesome is
wow.
that? Like, so I just changed, not me personally, but,
well,
you know, through this effort, we've changed this woman's life. Now she thinks about it. You know, and if we could do that, make people think, you know, forget the political divide. You know, we need to help each other. Yeah. Don't tell me that the Republicans should help or the Democrats should help. Like, I don't want to go there
with
that.
People should help.
People should help. Like, we should be helping each other. You know, we shouldn't rely on our government to do that. And I think sometimes we do, you know.
And it doesn't take much, really.
It really doesn't. I mean, the smiles that we put on the people's faces with these bags is just unmeasurable. So.
Yeah, it's simple. It's effective. It's great. So, all right, we're going to take one more quick commercial break, and we'll be back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. And we're talking today with Kevin Garrison, founder of the Blessing Bag Brigade. And he was in the Army. And he is a morale builder. And he puts together blessing bags. And he is a brigade of, what was it? What had you describe it? You described it. Oh, yeah. The blessing bags are soft and warm. And the brigade is strong to help other people. I love that. Yeah. So before we forget, you have a huge event coming up on the 28th. So what's that?
So Shortcake Supply has gotten together with area dessert people and bakeries around the area. And they are coming together to put all their baked goods for sale and, you know, showcase their stuff, what they have. And 100% of the proceeds will go to us. And we're really excited about that. They're in Ocean Township. It's October 28th from 9 to 3. Again, it's Shortcake Supply. And I can't even remember. I think there's over 20 different vendors that'll be there. You know, so come on out, try some food. I will be there for some time. It's going to be a great event. And you know, we have so many events like this that we do that people get involved in, people want to get involved in. Our next event personally is November 5th, where we're having a supply gathering and packing event at the Middletown Ice World Sports Complex in Middletown, New Jersey. We have an event November 9th, Pino's Palette in Red Bank, New Jersey, where we're going to paint bottles, and that's usually a good event for us. But, you know, we also do a lot of corporate events. Mm-hmm. You know, there's corporate give backs and corporate giving. We just did one, if you could see my hat. We partnered up with UBS Bank, and they've been a great partner for us. We went there to do an event where I told them about what we do, and they put together, I believe it was close to 300 blessing bags, and they actually came out to deliver those bags with me to Trinity Church in Asbury Park, where they serve well over 100 people lunch on every Saturday. So that was great. They help out tremendously with our soup kitchen. They're always donating, and they've been a huge partner for us these past few months. So, you know, I go into different corporate places, and I talk about what we do and talk about how they can get involved because, you know, we have people coming from all over to work in certain locations. And like I always say, you know, it doesn't have to be in Asbury Park. It doesn't have to be in Keensburg. It could be wherever you live because trust me, you don't see it, but I'm sure there's a soup kitchen close by or the next town. You know, we're feeding people all the time. And you just got to get out of your comfort zone and go, yes, go into it because, you know, I always say the only way to get comfortable is to get uncomfortable sometimes.
I love that.
And so, you know, by being uncomfortable in one situation will make you more comfortable in another situation. And, you know, that goes through with life, you know, not only with this stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of lessons I learned here, and I just love it. I just love being a part of all this.
Yeah, I do a soup kitchen in South Plainfield once a month. And awesome. We always have the teens in because they're trying to get service hours for school or confirmation or whatever. And it's funny to watch them when they're there for the first time. And, you know, we're setting up. And then when the guests start coming down, they come down the stairs and they, you know, they got these wide eyes. They just don't know what to expect, yeah, which is fine, but it's good. And then we just start serving and everyone says thank you. And, you know, I mean, and it's just a good exposure.
Yeah. And like I tell our volunteers, like when you're in these soup kitchen situations, treat it like you're in a fine dining restaurant. How do you want to be served? Yeah. Treat them like that. You know, go get them a napkin. Go get them a cup of coffee. You know, can I take that for you? I mean, any simple gesture, it makes someone feel special. And not only that, like you were saying before, it makes you feel good about what you're doing. And, you know, if you can make your self-esteem as best as you can make it, then you're going to want to do more and help out in other situations. I had a woman, I did an event for a writer's group. This lawyer does a group where she's trying to help people get books published, and she talks about giving back.
Oh.
So I did an event in Oyster Point this year, and I did it last year, and this woman came up to me and she said, Kevin, you changed my life.
Aww.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I got the chills. I'm like, how so? She's like, you know, I worked for this corporation. I told them what you did, and I told them I wanted us to get involved, and basically they almost laughed at her. And she was so taken aback, and she couldn't believe it. And ultimately, she wound up quitting that job because of, you know, their lack of community service, their lack of humanity.
The
right?
corporate culture wasn't there for
was
that.
Was not
yep.
there.
Yep.
So, you know, she obviously was very marketable, so she was able to do that, you know. Yeah. And she went out and found herself another job, and she said one of the main things she asks during her interview process is, what kind of community service does your corporation do? I thought that was so awesome. Like, again, you know, you never know how you're going to touch somebody's life. So,
wow.
You know, go out of your way to hold that door, talk to somebody, help that neighbor you never see. Maybe there's a reason they don't come out of their house. You know, go knock on the door. Hey, can I take your garbage can in? Like something simple. It could be anything.
Just human contact.
Human
basically
contact.
Showing for 5 seconds that you care.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just
so many of these homeless people say, thank you for the conversation.
Aww, right?
You know, they love the bag, but they don't get to talk to people sometimes, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, they have to be strong on the streets because they don't want to seem weak to their to their counterparts who
yeah,
are out there.
Yeah.
They don't want to get taken advantage of. And, you know, us as passerbyers, not always looking to talk to them. We're looking to kind of go about our own business.
Well, and with all the talk of stranger danger, you know, I
guess,
like, you can't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
I mean,
your parents
yeah,
when
know,
you do
right?
stuff like that, you know. I mean, you know, there's got to be some common sense in all this, right?
Well, it was funny because we had our windows cleaned. My son had come home and he's like, Mom, there's a lady outside with a clipboard. Like, he was freaked out. I was like, oh my God, she's coming to do an estimate. And he was like, oh. Like,
no, what have we've gone so far the other way, you know?
And, I know.
And that, you know, and that being said, you know, so many of our drills that we do in school, sometimes our kids, like,
oh, I
we
know.
Do it so often, our kids, like, are deaf to the fact.
I know, it's hard. It's a fine line between being aware and being paranoid,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
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 Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, what else do I want to ask you about?
So every month we try to spotlight either a business
right.
or somebody who's done a lot of community service for us. We think that's very important because, you know, we like to give back too as much as we can to the businesses who help us and to the people who help us. We have some great volunteers. Our core members of Cameron, Kate, Lisa, David are always there for us. Christy and, you know, they help me out with website design. They help me out with letters to give because, you know, I'm the, like in the Army, I'm the grunt in all this. You know, you just give me stuff and send me out there and make me do what it is I need to do. And, you know, the paperwork and all that stuff is so important. You know, I try to answer all the emails that come in.
Wow.
I try to, you know, visit all the schools I can. I've been to Queens, New York, visiting a school. I was in Queens, New York. We did a school, like this Catholic school, and we made possibly like 300-400 bags. And I was thinking, oh, man, I got to carry these all the way back to New Jersey. I walked out of the building. Literally down the block was a soup kitchen. I just brought them all to that. The guy was so thankful. He couldn't believe what just happened. So it's, you know, situations like that happen to me often. And and that's because I keep myself aware.
Well, and I think you cultivate that. I think you do. Nice. I mean, no, but I think it's so true. Like, people think you're like Lala when you talk about the universe sends you the answers if you're open and willing. And I mean, I totally agree with that. Yeah. If you're open and aware, then being it presents itself right to you.
Yeah. You know, you follow what's going on. And even driving up here, I make myself aware of what's going on around me because I've really been in this area too often, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I see things and that others may not because I'm hyper aware, I guess, sometimes.
I know. Well, and I am too. But that's a good thing. Yeah. And I think, but you can cultivate that. You can make that part of your habit.
Absolutely.
Just look around, pick up a flyer or talk to someone you wouldn't normally talk to, or just, you know, just kind of start to open yourself up a little bit. And then you realize what kind of potential there is out there for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're rocking it. So, I think you talked about with the spotlight that you spotlight a partner, a business that's donated on your website, because I think relationships are so important. I was at a philanthropy seminar in Princeton last week where they talked about the importance of building relationships between the companies, small business corporations, and organizations like yours that are doing good in the streets, in the soup kitchens, and building community of volunteers.
And that's why I try to make myself available. I know I do a lot of things. You'll see on Facebook, I'm always out there, but I love that. I love the human contact. I love being able to be in society and act like a contributing member, and to be able to maybe touch somebody's life, like I said, is amazing to me. When someone comes up to you and says something like that, how can you not want to go out and do it again, you know?
Right, and it sounds like you don't sleep much, but I don't have time to.
I nap.
Okay. Well, no, but I also tell people, because they're like, well, how do you do this or how do you do that? I said, well, when you're doing something that you're so in tune to and it excites you so much, it invigorates you and you have energy to spare, right?
Absolutely.
When you say,
well, right. So I work. My job was from 11 to 7, Monday through Friday. I work at night. I also manage an apartment complex part-time.
I think you're superhuman. I really do.
I do. I run a soup kitchen on Tuesdays in Long Branch at St. Luke's. And I find time to do this stuff. And, you know, my thing is that if, you know, you really want something to happen and you really want to make a difference and you want to become a part of something, whether it's a relationship or a community or a charitable organization, you will do that. We all have the time to do that. Maybe if you have young kids, I'll give you a little bit of a pass.
Yeah,
but you do have time. You know, I just want to hit on real quickly that I don't know how much time we have.
Like,
but
5 minutes.
Okay, so when we first started this, we were giving out about 200 to 400 bags a month for almost the first year. Once we passed Christmas and that help with at the Hammerstein Ballroom, all of a sudden we I don't know what happened, but we started handing out almost 1,500 bags a month.
Wow.
So, you know, December, I think it's 13th, if I can remember correctly, is like our anniversary around that time. And so far to date, we've handed out over 17,000 blessing bags.
Incredible.
And I think I've touched probably every single one of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it's just so amazing, you know. And I don't say that for me. I really say these things because I want to make people aware that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not superhuman. I'm not anyone different than anyone else out there. You know, I do these things. I always post on social media. I'm always saying what I'm doing because I want people to know that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy. And, you know, I just think it's so important that we help each other. I really do. You know, fighting for this country and knowing how beautiful this country is, no matter what's going on anywhere else in Washington or anywhere else, you know, we have a small community that we can make a difference in. And if we continue to go out in our communities and do that, you know, that expands to towns, to counties, to states, and all of a sudden we're living in a place we want to live in.
Right, right. It's so, revolutionary.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, and I think little kids can stuff, like a little kid can stuff a shampoo bottle in a bag.
We have no age limit.
It's a good family.
We had a kid over this summer, I think they were 5 and 7, handing out coffee.
Aww.
I mean, I do not have age discrimination, anything.
Right.
Like, if you want to help, you come and help. There's so many organizations that have that, and kids have a tough time finding where to donate their time and how to do it.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing I want to hit on real quick is, you know, volunteer is just that. You know, donating your time is just that. It doesn't mean when you have time to do it. Mm-hmm. It means sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
because that's what it is. You know, I can be not doing this and just laying around all day and not doing much of anything, you know?
Sleeping.
But, you know, sometimes I get kids to call me and say, oh, I can only do it Tuesday from 5 to 6. That's not a sacrifice.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I get it.
So sometimes you have to go out, like I say, you have to get uncomfortable to get comfortable sometimes. And that's part of, you know, volunteering, is that you have to sacrifice yourself. That's so part of it. And, you know, if an organization doesn't have that particular time for you, you make time for the organization. That's what it's all about. Volunteering your time. So,
well, and the secret is you initially go in willing to make the sacrifice, but you end up getting all the benefits.
So much more.
That's the truth of the matter.
So much more.
Yes. And even the kids, like I said before, my kids, you know, one was kicking and screaming on the bed or driving to the soup kitchen. They're complaining the whole time. But then they get there and they're just rocking it.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes you have to drag them by the hair and throw them in the car. Right. But they do, they get it once you get there. So
it's amazing. So many people that have come, if I can encourage anyone to do anything, let's go to your local soup kitchen. And how about this? Don't even help. Go eat with someone.
Oh,
go
yeah.
eat with someone next to you.
Yeah.
Go taste the food. Because you know what? It's a regular food that we eat. It's just prepared in bulk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So go out there and experience this. Go out and sit there. Sit next to a neighbor that you may not normally sit to and have a conversation. Then go volunteer. See what it's all about. Because by putting yourself out there, you really see what they're going through and maybe how they're feeling.
Yeah, and conversation and attention is the key, right? Just
yeah.
acknowledging another human being
yeah.
for who they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about really quick. We got like a minute. So in the in a blessing bag, you've got men's socks, snacks, water bottles, travel size shampoo, body wash, toothbrush, travel size toothpaste, travel size lotion, deodorant, and razors. So, I mean, I'm sure you have a variation of this depending on what you
get. No, listen, we try to keep the bags.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, we try to keep 10 items in a bag.
All right,
we
perfect.
Do 3 snacks,
okay.
10 items in a bag so that they're consistent because we go to a lot of different places and we want to make sure that everyone's getting the same kind of a thing. And
building your brand.
So, so don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Blessing Bag Brigade NJ. You can follow us on Twitter at Blessing Bag New Jersey and also on Instagram at Blessing_Bag_New Jersey. You can also find us on BlessingBagNJ@gmail.com. Send us an email at gmail.com. We're also BlessingBagBrigadeNJ.org. And you can find my phone number on there if you need it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. And there is umpteen ways to get a hold of this man and to help out with Blessing Bag Brigade. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news, as suspicious devices have been found at several well-known locations, including at the Time Warner Building in New York City, which is home to CNN and is currently being evacuated. This as the Secret Service confirms that potential explosive devices were also mailed to the residences of former President Obama and to Hillary Clinton, and there's a report a similar device was mailed to the White House. Michael Balboni is the former New York State Homeland Security Chief.
You know, if it's media outlets and it's individuals of high profile, then obviously this is a concerted effort to do a wide-based distribution of these devices.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders describes the suspicious packages as despicable in a just-released statement. She also calls the perpetrators cowards. This is USA Radio News.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference, so you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers,
help, please.
High-fiving neighbors, 2-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State age and health-related restrictions may apply.
An official message from Medicare. Open enrollment ends soon.
So now's the time to be open-minded.
Look at everything, like prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans from private insurers.
Why? Because plans change. So can your health needs.
I found lower costs and extra benefits and saved money.
Open to something better? Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE today.
Open enrollment ends December 7th.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
More now on the discovery of suspicious packages which have led to scares in more than one city as they've turned up at the White House, also at residences belonging to former President Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and now the Time Warner building, which is home to CNN in New York City, is also under evacuation because of a potentially explosive device that was found there. In a statement, White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders condemns these terrorizing acts and calls the perpetrators of them